Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use here on WTIC News Talk 1080. It's great to be along with you this morning. This is Ann Baldwin, and I think some of you are doing okay. Some of you are not doing okay because of the events that happened earlier this week. So I thought it would be a good idea to get us all some professional help. I think we could all use a little professional help. So I have invited Dr. Ralph Dodd from Hartford Healthcare. Dr. Dodd is a licensed clinical psychologist with over 20 years of experience helping people like you and I overcome mental health struggles and everything else that happens in everyday life. So I want to welcome Dr. Dodd. Thank you for being on the program. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to join you today.
Well, I saw you on television earlier this week during the election, after the election coverage, and you gave some really good advice. And, you know, I just thought, oh, this too shall pass. So how do you think after the election and really results that I think kind of shocked a lot of people, how are people doing?
Yeah, I think, and it's only a few days out since the election, and obviously results are still continuing to roll in, but I think that people are slowly starting to adjust and acclimate to the results that came about, especially those that were hoping for a different outcome. I think the immediate impact afterwards was a little bit of denial/uncertainty and questioning. But as the days have gone on, I think people are now starting to realize that this is the reality of, you know, the results. And for some, it's a very exciting reality, and for others, not so much.
Well, I was just going to say, you talk about emotions on both sides, right? So,
yes.
But I think for me, what I'm finding, and I also think that social media obviously has just elevated everybody's angst. You know, I saw over the course of this week, I saw people changing their profiles to a dark black space. A lot of comments, a lot of people, if you voted for Trump, unfriend me. You know, I've seen a lot of that. And I guess I just didn't expect that it would be that extreme, right? How much of an impact does social media, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff, how much does that put fuel on this fire?
Yeah, I think it adds a lot of fuel to the fire for a couple of reasons. The primary reason is you might not have a thought in your mind as to how you want to react to the outcome of the elections, and then you get an idea from someone else and you're like, oh, this is a great way to cope with the situation or handle the situation. Unfortunately, that's not always the best course of action, but the route that people are choosing to take. But social media is playing a heavy role in influencing people's moods and emotions, especially at a time like this.
Well, talk a little bit about what your best advice is. You know, I mean, everybody's got emotions. Well, you know, as we saw during Kamala's concession speech, you know, at Howard University, I mean, the media, of course, you know, wants that emotion. That's what they thrive on. You know, the cutaways of the tears and the people crying on each other's shoulders. You know, to some people that might seem a little bit extreme. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think there's a huge piece of reality in that moment with what they were cutting away to and seeing. And I really feel like the take-home message from that and those images is really that there is no wrong way to feel and process what's going on, and that if you are someone who's feeling that deeply, that that is okay, right? And mm-hmm. many people are doing that, but then also the realization that you might need some added support, especially if you're, you know, impacted that severely.
That's good advice. You know, and I guess what we're calling this is really election stress and anxiety. On mm-hmm. both sides, I think there was a lot of anxiety for those folks that, you know, wanted former President Trump to get in, and on the other side. And then again, with the pollsters and the media, you know, in the constant barrage of information, 24/7. I know I had mm-hmm. to tell my 85-year-old mother in Florida, turn the television off. Go to bed, wake up tomorrow, and you'll know what happens. You know, we get so consumed by all these messages, and I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like a mixed bag there, right, where we have this need to know and we don't want to miss out on, you know, the latest information. Unfortunately, a lot of the information is much of the same, but it is very problematic. And, you know, when I use the word problematic, I'm thinking about what you said about, you know, telling your mom to shut off the TV and go to bed. And that's the piece of it that a lot of people are having a hard time shutting off, which means that their brain is remaining activated and stimulated, right, which is then going to lead to a lot of other disruptions, such as, you know, sleep disruption, internal agitation, angst, and, mm-hmm. you know, a variety of other symptoms.
Well, and then you add to that that a lot of people already have pre-existing issues, if you will, right? You might already mm-hmm. have panic attacks. You might already have anxiety. And then to add this kind of thing to the top of that, you know, that, like you said, that I know that the day before the election day, I had a knot in my stomach all day long, mm-hmm. all day long. So it is real, but it also, I find now in the aftermath, that it's impacting relationships. So can yes. you give us, and again, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Dr. Ralph Dodd from Hartford Healthcare, a licensed psychologist. How do we manage that? Because the holidays are coming up, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's a very good point that you make about, you know, the relationships. And earlier you commented about on social media, people are, you know, changing their profiles and saying things like unfriend me and so forth. Mm-hmm. And while it might be the immediate reaction of what they are feeling, what they're not thinking about is the damage and impact that they're doing to, you know, family relationships, friendships that they have that they actually value, that in that moment they're having a little bit of a blind spot. And so going, you know, back to your point, I think the first and most important thing to do, especially during these times, and not just around elections, but life in general, that when we are distressed, to not say or do anything, I call it like impulsively, right, or being impulsively reckless, right, and anything that you can't undo. And so typically my advice would be to slow down. Right. If you're having, you know, thoughts and feelings and so forth, slow down and actually think through before you actually damage and destroy important relationships.
And, you know, that's a really good point, Dr. Dodd, because you should not only do that. I mean, you should do that with your social media. You should do that with everything. You know, take a break. Go for a walk. Clear your head, you know, before you write an email, before you get on any social media platforms, before you engage with, you know, what could be a longtime friend. You know, it's interesting because I've now, unfortunately, have to have, when I have certain people over to my house for a party and they're all dear friends, I have to almost put a sign on the front door, no discussion about politics allowed. You know, take your shoes off and don't talk about politics. Those are my two rules, right? So yeah, everybody takes their shoes off, but not everybody follows the politics rule. And it wasn't half hour into one of my parties this past summer that, you know, two of my good girlfriends on opposite sides of the political spectrum got into it. One started crying, words were flying. And now if I have a party, I got to figure out who can come and who can't. You know, I mean, so it's having things have a long lasting impact. And is mm-hmm. it worth it? Is it really worth it? You're not going to change people's minds. I think that's one thing that for me came out of this whole election process is you are where you're at and you believe what you believe. So discussing this, you know, in a confrontational way isn't going to come out with good outcomes.
No, not at all. But I think what is actually happening in those moments for the individual who are both sides, I guess, is the disbelief, right? Like you are friends with many people. I'm friends with many people and we think we know them, right? We think they, you know, support us in the ways that we want to be supported and so forth. And I think that was the interesting thing about this election and the last few elections is that the personas and the identities of these characters are strongly linked to how we view ourselves. And therefore, when people are, you know, not in agreement with the candidate that we want or the person that we're choosing, we take it as a personal attack as opposed to, yeah, we have a difference of opinion.
Right. And, you know, and then it's all exacerbated by the fact, you know, pre-election, you know, most people, a lot of people put lawn signs in their yards. So, you know, you kind of know your neighbor, but you didn't know their political affiliation, and now you do. So there's another thing that you got to deal with, right? So, you know, I just, one of the biggest things that happened to me after the election is I put something on my social media, and one of my dear friends, who happens to be gay, said, I thought you were smarter than that. You know, and that hit my heart. I was like, really? I mean, why do we have to start publicly insulting people here? I don't think that's necessary. But, you know, I guess that's also what happens. But do you think that there's going to be a bigger increase in people needing to get professional help mentally? Do you think the election's going to have that much of an impact? Or do you think this will all settle down someday?
Well, I would say the optimistic part of me is that I hope that things will all settle down. But realistically, I think that people are going to, you know, be reeling in different ways and needing some support. And, you know, support may not always come in traditional ways. It may not be the, you know, go and see a therapist. It might be engaging in new activities, engaging in different ways to communicate with people, you know, joining, you know, I'm going to say things like joining yoga groups or using meditation or using some kind of their way to ground yourself, because I think that unfortunately this election, and as other elections have done, has had an unraveling effect on most individuals. As you talk about, you know, the comment that, you know, someone made on your social media page, right? It's unraveling. It's unnerving that they would even, you know, offer such a commentary. And it doesn't mean that, you know, they're not your friend or they don't like you anymore. It just means that they are also heartbroken or injured as a result of, you know, this election, and less so about you, the person.
Well, I guess I just gave away who I voted for. Can you figure that out, Doctor? Have you read through those lines then?
Yeah, okay. Now I could figure it out.
I was trying to be neutral, but you know what? Sometimes it just spills out. But that's not what this whole thing is about. And you know, in the ads, the campaign ads. Thank goodness those are gone. Right? We won't have to see those for a little bit longer. But, you know, and as you said, you know, get have an outlet. Go do something. I know tonight I'm going to Zumba. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. You know, Zumba's my thing. So figuring out how you can, because when you're sitting there by yourself, inactive, isn't it true that that's really when kind of the thoughts escalate and we kind of get ourselves in trouble?
Yeah. And that's, you know, what you're speaking to goes beyond just the, you know, the election, right? Anytime we have a lot of downtime on our hands, we start to reflect on just life in general and how things are either working for us or not working for us. And I think those are opportunities, unfortunately, negative opportunities for us to kind of turn more inward on ourselves and down on ourselves, as opposed to, you know, being more bright and cheerful and so forth in those situations.
So I'm going to ask you a question. So I'm in the public relations business, right? That's my full-time job. And I deal with a lot of clients and we're dealing with the press, I always say, you know, you need to have your key messages, right? What are your key messages? So let's say, you know, when two individuals come together in a situation, whether it's a family gathering, regardless of what it is, I mean, what are kind of some of your, do you have key phrases that you can share with our listeners today about, you know, what can we say to start this thing from even erupting in the first place?
Yeah, and I don't know if I've captured it as a key phrase or not, but I always say, you know, you got to know yourself, right? You got to know yourself and know yourself well, and know that, you know, certain situations are going to leave you very vulnerable, and, you know, sometimes maybe vulnerable in a negative way, and maybe not putting yourself in those situations, right? As you talk about, you know, you have a no politics policy at your house, right? So that situation, even though some people tend to break it.
Only during parties. Let me clarify that.
Yes, during parties. However, you know, so for me, coming to your house for a party might be, you know, something that I wouldn't necessarily be putting myself in a vulnerable space versus going to a meeting where I know other people are, you know, activated as far as politics goes and so forth, that wouldn't be a good space for me emotionally, right? So knowing yourself and knowing, right, you know, what is likely to impact you. Right.
Yeah. Or trigger you. You know, as someone who's been in recovery now for almost 13 years, it's kind of like, you know, following the program. You know, if you're an alcoholic, mm-hmm. you have to know yourself. Can you go sit at a restaurant that has a bar? Can you go to a party that serves alcohol?
Correct.
I mean, everybody's different. Everybody's got different triggers. Right. So I think that's really good. But I also I'd like to offer up a couple of ideas, because I'm one of those individuals, when someone fires at me, I tend to fire back.
Fire back, yeah.
I fire right back. And it's always been a problem, and it probably always will, but I'm working on it. You know, that's all I can say. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where, to diffuse the situation, if someone comes at me, I've also tried this, is, you know, it may seem like they're being a little aggressive, but I always try to diffuse that with a smile. As hard as it is sometimes to smile at that person, give them eye contact and say, listen, I know you're upset, but listen, this is not the time, you know, or a place to talk about it. Let's do that another time, or just flat out, I'm not going to discuss it because it's not going to go well. End of story.
Yes.
End of story. It's just not going to end well.
Yeah.
So why even start it?
Yeah.
Right?
And then, yes, I completely agree. And to your point, too, one of the things that I've, you know, try to say to people, especially post-election, is that you have to be kind to others, right? And what I mean by that is the people who, you know, their candidate won and they're very excited and so forth, recognizing that, well, half a nation is upset and impacted, right? And so how can we be kind in that moment, knowing that, you know, the outcome has worked out well for us, right? And it has not worked out well for them. And so let me not be, you know, a jerk or, you know, overly obnoxious or any of those kind of things. It's kind of like, okay, we've reached the end here, so let it go.
Right. We're talking to Dr. Ralph Todd with Hartford Healthcare, a licensed clinical psychologist. So we talked a lot about, you know, post-election stress, how some people are feeling, how some people are dealing with it. But now you look ahead, right? For those people who aren't happy, they're going to have 4 more years of not being happy. So, so you know, there's really longevity in this misery for a lot of people. And that's going to be a long 4 years if that's how you look at it.
Yeah, well, I like to, you know, give, I tend to be more optimistic in general and so forth. And I, you know, I like to, you know, give people a little bit of credit and say that I don't know if it'll be a long 4 years. I don't know if they're going to be miserable for a long time. But perhaps, you know, in the immediate future, you know, they're definitely unhappy. And that's the time when they have to tap into, you know, what resources are available to them. What are the other things that brings about, you know, happiness for them, right? Realizing that in the immediate day-to-day, you know, the global decisions isn't going to impact them as much, right? Like, they're still going to have to go get up in the morning and go to work. They're still going to have to come home to their families, and, you know, how they show up in those spaces matter, right? And if they're showing up in those spaces, you know, with a smile on their face and enjoying the stuff that they're doing, you know, the larger stuff is going to have less of an impact on them versus the reverse order, where if they're unhappy in their day-to-day and in their relationships and, you know, those things that are important, then the global stuff has an even larger impact on them.
Right. And, you know, I look at it this way, too, and I say, well, you know, we're one speck, you know, all these people. There's really not a whole lot we can do about things, right? So to worry about it and agonize it, I mean, some of the stuff is out of our hands. I mean, we voted, and now it's out of our hands. I mean, there really isn't, you know, there are rallies, there's activism, there are things at a local level I think you can do. But when it's out of your control, you have to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's, to me, that's one of the hardest things for people to do. And I got to tell you, as a former news reporter for a long time, the other thing I would like to ask people to do is do your own homework. You know, look at the sources where you're getting your information from. You know, is it a 10-second soundbite on, you know, Morning Joe or Fox News or CNN that's got you all riled up? Do your own homework. Put things in context. Or TikTok, social media. Make it your job, if you're going to get upset about something, to at least know the background, to try to figure out the whole story. That's the other thing that I like to suggest, because people sometimes get angry and they speak from ignorance. And I don't like that. I'm sure I do it too. So I'm trying to follow my own rules. How can people get a hold of you, or what can you talk quickly about some of the services that are offered where you work there at Hartford Healthcare?
Yeah, so Hartford Healthcare works in partnership also with, we have the Behavioral Health Network, which is throughout the whole state of Connecticut, providing mental health support, all the different regions. The easiest way is to, you know, get online, access Hartford Healthcare, the Behavioral Health Network, and all the resources will be essentially at your disposal.
That's right. You know, and that's where the websites and that kind of thing come into play, because you can kind of find out what your needs are and what you're looking for. Let me ask you too, Dr. Dodd. I mean, HIPAA, we can't talk about specific individuals, and I don't want to do that. What I do want to do, though, is say, you know, what are some of the biggest problems that are surfacing out there right now? You know, is it elderly people that are having problems? I know it's a little bit of everybody, juvenile mental health issues. What's the big nugget right now?
Wow. Very good question. My immediate response is to say all of it, right? Because everyone matters. Everyone has something that they're going through. And if we were to focus, let's say, even on the elderly population, what we know is that the elderly are living a lot longer than they've ever lived before. And with that comes a lot of complications, whether it's medical complications, which then impacts the mental health stuff, right? We also know about, like, dementia that comes along with old age and so forth. So that population definitely needs some support. But then when we look at the other end of the spectrum, and I've, you know, done a lot of work with children and adolescents, our children are really struggling. Our adolescents are really struggling. They're having a hard time socially. They're having a hard time being able to communicate, being able to express some of their needs. I don't always like to go back and talk about, like, COVID and so forth, but that did have a huge impact on social development. So what we're seeing is, you know, a lot of individuals are not as prepared socially as they would have been, you know, to enter, I'm going to say, adulthood, as we once saw. And so that's where a lot of work and effort is going into, to build those skills and, you know, teach students and adolescents how to transition into adulthood.
Yeah, common sense and people skills. I mean, I see it. I work with a lot of schools. I see it on a daily basis. But I guess what makes me feel a little bit better about that is that it doesn't have as much of a stigma now as it did back, you know, in the days. People are, you know, seeing the warning signs, and they are paying attention to what they need to do to get the help they need to get, right? So that's always a good sign. But I know that, you know, your industry has just blown up. I mean, people are really struggling right now. And, you know, the only hope is that you got to figure out what your priorities are. What do you really need to worry about? What's really most important?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So we got about 1 minute left. Okay, so let's wrap this thing up. So what is your best piece of advice for people right now feeling a little bit down? Might be about the election, might be about something else. It can't be about the weather, because it's been beautiful. So as a professional psychologist, what is your best advice for people out there listening this morning?
Yeah, you know, I think when all is said and done, and when we're dealing with things, we have to remember to go back to basics, right? There are things that we all find, you know, joy and happiness in. There are things that we naturally want to do, and, you know, tapping into that. Like, so for me, I play a lot of sports, all right? And if I'm really kind of down and out, tapping into that and going out and, you know, as you mentioned, the weather's nice, going out and golfing, going out and playing basketball, doing those kind of things that will allow me to, you know, get back to center. And I think for a lot of people, when they are feeling kind of like, I don't know what to do next, right, that's always a good go-to.
Well, that's great advice. And, you know, the other thing is they always say, too, maybe you need to change people, places and things. That can also be a big help. But, you know, you also have to, look at what you do have. You know, look at what you are blessed to have and what you should be grateful for. And sometimes I think we don't take the time to do that as well. So, Dr. Ralph Todd, great advice. I figured we'd tap into your expertise and see if we couldn't help some people out today. And hopefully we did. So thank you for being here.
Sure, no problem. Thank you very much for the invite and allowing me to say a few words.
Absolutely. And of course, we couldn't do this without all of you. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use. I'm Ann Baldwin. We'll see you back here next week.